Maybe it all goes back to childhood, being told, don't touch this, don't go there. But there's undoubtedly an illicit allure to going where you're not supposed to be. What may surprise you, though, is that there's a subculture that turns going where you're not supposed to go into a surprising hobby. It's called infiltration, and it's a kind of urban spelunking or off-limits tourism. Infiltrators trespass through the drains or sewers of a city's industrial heart. They explore subways and college steam tunnels. They often make maps and take photographs of their exploits. Sure, it's illegal, and it can be dangerous. That's why we're not suggesting anyone listening go out and do this. But the phenomenon of infiltration does shed interesting light on urban people's intimate relationship to the city and sense of place. That's what drew correspondent Nick Purden to tag along on an infiltration mission.
I met the infiltrators one night in downtown Toronto. It was cold, dark, and we're out near the lake where you could feel the wind on your face. There's about a dozen of them, mostly teenagers. And they pulled up in a rented minivan, driven from somewhere north of the city.
Here, you hold this and hand it to me.
So as they get out their flashlights and cameras, Eric, one of the leaders, he reviews the code of the infiltrator. Going places you're not supposed to go. Like that big, huge, dark, abandoned building behind me we're about to explore.
What I find interesting about it is the fact that it's in this huge city. It's just a totally public place. Anyone can get into it, but there's just no one here, you know? I mean, there's all this stuff all around us, and this whole building is just empty. Like, we're the only ones here. No one, hardly anyone ever sees this place. Next up, like, you know, area infiltrators and stuff. Basically, it's exploration. It's a thrill of discovery.
So we climb under a chain-link fence and through a hole someone has cut in the plywood that covers an old doorway. Maybe it was the homeless people, maybe other infiltrators. Inside, it's pitch. Smells of mildew. Asher, the only girl in the group, has been here before. She's one of the guys.
Just one person up the ladder at a time because we're not sure how secure it is. And be careful, there's a lot of holes here.
As I step over one of those holes, I shine my light down, but there's no visible bottom, just blackness. And then we start to climb. An old staircase winds around the outside of the building. Around and around we climb until we're almost 200 feet above the street. The view? Stunning. Sky dome lit up like a giant ball, and the headlights of the cars speeding on the Gardiner Expressway, they look like strobe lights. And behind us, you can just make out the white caps on the lake. So beautiful, it's easy to get careless.
Lights down, always.
We said that.
Lights down. We don't want to draw attention to ourselves. A good rule to remember as an infiltrator. After all, we're in a place we're not supposed to be. Trespassers. A few moments later, while we're exploring a long room with rows of broken windows down the sides, someone hears a voice and sees lights below.
Okay, I thought it was a security guard.
What?
Well, I couldn't quite make out what he was saying, but he was like pointing the lamp to where he had a light, flashlight.
The group looks worried.
Yeah, you're right.
Turns out, it's a false alarm. The scare was only James, one of the infiltrators who split off from the group. So later I catch up with him as he's looking out at the city through the broken window.
I like coming in here because I'm scared out of my mind right now. And it's very neat. You can't see Toronto from many other places for free at this height. Unless you get chased by security up a building. That's about it. Oh, I just look over here. It's really exhilarating. It's wonderful. I'm just walking around like you see all these holes in the floor and everything. You got to be a little nervous, otherwise you're dumb. And right there, I just thought I saw a hole in the floor. And that's going too overboard, it's just a piece of glass.
And then, James takes me over to an opening he found in the floor. We look down into just total blackness. He picks up a piece of glass and drops it in. And that's when it hit me. I wasn't expecting beauty when I came here. The sound of the glass or the view of the city all lit up. I've always seen beauty in nature, you know, the trees or the forest. So we climb up a bit more, and then, like when hikers bag a peak, we take off our packs and sit. We're on top, 200 feet above Toronto on a concrete platform. The wind is howling. There are no walls or guardrails between us and the biggest city in Canada lit up like a bonfire. It's one of the most beautiful views I've ever seen.
There's an element of danger. Which you don't really get anywhere else in the urban landscape.
I mean, society's building what they consider a safe sanctuary from, say, the outside world.
A padded cell.
All the safety constraints are don't exist here, and, you know, in the drains underground. If we get injured, you know, it's our problem to deal with, and
you have independence up here. There's nobody trying to keep you alive. You know, everywhere you go, someone's trying to keep you from being hurt for their own sake, for liabilities. Like, you know, even on people's property, using their products, eating their food, whatever, they're always trying to keep you safe. Everyone's trying to protect you from yourself. And up here, there's no one trying to save you from yourself. I mean, there's people that try to keep you out for your own sake, but once you're in here, it's just you and the building. It's exactly like Semaphore said, it's the urban jungle, you know? Like you versus nature, but a whole different kind of nature altogether.
Up here, we're out in the elements, just us and the building, the air, the wind. It kind of feels like wilderness.
Coming out here, it's you against, say, nature, an urban type of nature. The way that it's, you know, it used to be man against, you know, the bears and the forest and, you know, whatever nature would throw at him. And we've built over nature and created, you know, a new element that we have to... That's going to defeat us in some way, and, you know, we're kind of challenging it this way.
The challenge, the remoteness, being alone, the beauty, these are the reasons people go to the woods. But for the infiltrators, climbing a derelict building in the middle of the night seems to make more sense. After all, if you live in such a big city like Toronto, it's not that easy to get out. And nor do they want to. So they come here, they climb high, and they commune with the city and themselves. We continue to explore for a few more hours, up and down stairs. We go into rooms where the peeled paint is so thick on the floor, it makes the same sound as dry leaves. I feel like I'm lost in a mechanical labyrinth. And that's part of the buzz. I catch up with Eric, and he tells me he likes to come here because it's like going back in time. A time when industry, the making of things, ruled over an economy based on information. And it occurs to me, that same desire to go back to the way it used to be is why many people head to the woods. And you know, it's amazing how well Eric knows his way around.
Through this door, you go down these stairs, go into a little room, there's a hang thing you hit your head on. You go, you're in the elevator building. Elevator, emergency stairway, you take the emergency stairway up two stories, go to a big room with three kids passe on the wall.
Eric tells me about the community of urban explorers, urban spelunkers, or off-limit tourists around the world. Storm drainers in Sydney, Australia, tunnelers in New York City. A worldwide movement of people who, instead of simply driving past an urban structure, ask that age-old question. What's in there? Why don't we go take a look? By 1 a.m, we're back on the street, a little dusty, but invigorated. We didn't get caught and nobody got hurt. Me, I'm ready to head home. These guys? Well, they want to go hit some drains.
Apparently, Eric tells me that there is a two-story waterfall in this York Mills drain that he hasn't been able to get over. So if we get over it, and report it, we'd be frontiering.
In Toronto, I'm Nick Purden for DNTO.
So when you guys get wet in the drains?
Yes.
None of you are dressed right.
I got waterproof rubber boots and I spent $900.
I've got a drain coat.
Nick will go anywhere in search of a scoop. We prepared a web companion to Nick Purden's piece on infiltration. You can find it at our website, cbc.ca/DNTO. That's cbc.ca/DNTO, including photos of Nick's expedition. I visited one infiltration website earlier this week, and they even had an infiltrator jargon dictionary, which included such terms as credibility prop, which they describe as an object like a briefcase or a clipboard used to reduce suspicion. And you know, when you think about it, most of us carry a credibility prop around with us one way or another. You're listening to DNTO here on CBC Radio 1. I'm Nora Young, and coming up in just a few minutes, you too can be high style if you rob a bank first.